This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the Gospel. Beginning with verse 38, this is the word of the Lord, the story of God, the lesson God wants us to learn, this word that is living and alive. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Well, thinking of the best way to put this, who likes vegetables? Vegetables are good, especially if you put a lot of butter and cheese on them, and vegetables are good. What does it take to get vegetables, though? I mean, it's a lot of work goes into that, right? A lot of preparation and fertilizing and planting and hoeing and weeding and watering and just all that stuff. There are things that need to be done. Just like there's things that need to be done in a good church. And when I say good, I mean a church that is obedient to God and doing what the Holy Spirit wants them to do. And Jesus and his disciples came into a town, and Martha invited Jesus and his disciples into her home. She was going to give them a meal. But there was a lot of things that needed to be done to get ready for that meal. And I like to do that stuff. I do. I enjoy doing dinners. My kids come over. I cook all the time for everybody. They go out on the porch and they sit out there and talk, and I go back and forth between the grill and in the house, and I put out all the trimmings and the condiments and all that, and plates and napkins and everything, and I pet the dog and say hi to the grandkids, and maybe listening to what they're saying when I have time, and I go back and forth, and I enjoy doing it. They ask Bonnie. I just love to do that stuff. I have a lot of fun, and they always say thank you, you know, and I make a big mess, and then I leave it to her to clean up. But that's how we work. It's how we roll. It doesn't work that way for everybody, though. Martha, she gets busy fixing dinner for Jesus and the disciples. Her sister Mary goes and sits at Jesus' feet and listens to him. And it says that Martha was distracted by the many things that she had to do. She was distracted. She couldn't pay attention to Jesus. She couldn't listen to him because she couldn't multitask. But she was taking care of getting dinner ready, and it upset her that her sister was sitting over there enjoying Jesus' company and leaving all the work to her. It upset her so much that rather than stop what she was doing and take time out to listen to Jesus every now and then, or to enjoy the fact that she was fixing something for the Lord, man, that should have excited her. Instead, it aggravated her. And she goes to Jesus and says, "Listen, I'm doing all the work here. Mary's just sitting here listening to you. Tell her to help me." Yeah, yeah. She's telling Jesus to tell her sister what to do, right? And Jesus says, "Mary, Mary, you worry about a lot of different things. But there's only one thing that's important." Martha says, Jesus says, "Martha, you worry about many things." You know, and There's only one thing, though, that's really important. And that's what Mary's doing, sitting here and listening to me. Because he has the words of life. That's the only thing that's important. And don't we do the same thing, though? We do the same thing in the community of faith, in church, even at home. You know, we do the same thing around here. We get distracted by all the things that have to be done. They have to be done. There are all these meetings we got to go to, and telephone calls need to be made, and support that we have to raise, and fundraiser stuff, and meals to be cooked, and time to be spent here away from family, and papers to prepare, and supplies to be bought, and it can become a distraction if we let it. If we let it get under our skin and bother us, then all of a sudden we start looking at the people who aren't doing it and saying, "You know, why aren't they helping? They should be helping. I'm gonna go tell the pastor. I'm gonna tell the pastor that. Tell them to help me." Yeah. Believe me, over the years I've heard it. So we get distracted. We should be enjoying what we're doing, no matter what it is. Even if it's cleaning toilets, we're doing it for the house of the Lord. This is God's house, everything we do here. And we become distracted. But that's not all. We get distracted by following tradition. Well, that's not the way we do it. We always do it this way. It's a distraction. Or you can't do it that way. We get distracted by, no, not another meeting. We get distracted by a lot of things. I got to tell you, over the years, when I've been on my way to church on Sunday morning, like my last church, Carmichael's, I had to drive past a ball field, Lions ball field, every Sunday morning. And during the summer, that field was packed. It was packed, and there was organized baseball going on Sunday morning, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And softball on the other field. There were like three fields, and there was something going on at every field. Well, it's nice that people get together. It's not nice that they skip church to do it. When I was growing up, how many times have you heard that, especially young people? When I was growing up, we didn't do that on a Sunday. It was all these other days to play baseball, not on Sunday. But today, people give all their time. I work all week. I need to sleep in Sunday. Or we're going away. We're going biking, kayaking, fishing, hiking, shopping. You know, don't have time for church, and church has become an option. Yeah, I'm on that kick. But I'm on that kick because I love you. Matthew 10:33. Jesus speaking says, "But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Now, you may think that you can do all the things that you want to do and still confess Jesus. But like we were talking with the kids this morning at our one-room Sunday school, it's cheap talk when you don't really do what Jesus says to do. Because then you don't really believe in Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, he said, if you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. But man, I tell you, Jesus wants us in church. Jesus went to church almost every day himself. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." Over 2,000 years ago, this stuff was written. And it is so true even for today. "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." And the end times, we're in them. And the day, and when it says the day, it doesn't mean light, but it means the day of judgment. When this world comes to an end. Priorities. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Therefore, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Man, if you don't believe we're living in a warped and crooked generation, we need to talk. This generation, I would say it can't get any more warped than it is, but I suppose it could. And it is crooked all over. Now, this is not an easy message for me to preach. It's not an easy message for you to hear, because you're here. I'm preaching to the choir. Our priorities. We've got to have the right priorities in life, because all the fun that we want to do, all of the work that we do, earning money and stuff, all of the possessions that we take care of, the people we go and visit, no matter how educational or pleasing it is, none of that's going to save you. None of that's going to save you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Set the right priorities in life. Make the changes no matter how hard they are. Don't be distracted by the things that you need to do. Don't grumble and argue. But be peacemakers. Get along with each other. Even if you don't like the person, don't grumble and argue. This is the word of God. It's not an easy message, because if you embrace it, if you believe in it, then we need to make changes. The church needs us to get involved, to be committed, to work together, to make a difference, to change the community around us, to change the lives of the people who are in it. We do that through VBS with the kids' lives. You change their lives by the example that you set for them to follow, and that's great. It's the way it should be. That there are other things that need to be done. And not only that, but we need to be in church to worship and praise the Lord, because God is worthy of our praise. And if we can go to a ball game and sit through 101 degree temperatures and get rained on and have a rootin' tootin' good time, we can certainly give God an hour of our time and sit in air conditioning and hang out with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we let ourselves get distracted. And I'm here to say today, to encourage you, because I see the end coming, don't get distracted. Choose wisely. Set the right priorities in your life. What really matters? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when we learn to abide in his presence and we aren't distracted, God bless you, then we get to experience the beauty in the presence of the Lord, and we are filled with his joy, and makes us strong. No matter where we're going and no matter what we're doing, abide in his presence. Sit at his feet and listen. Read the Bible and pray. Hang out with other Christians and praise and worship God. In your car, at home, in this place. And put all them distractions aside. It'll change your life and the lives of the people around you. God loves you, and so do I. Let's